This is KSFR News. I'm Bryce Dix, joined by Andy Lyman. He's a reporter with NewMexicoPoliticalReport.com. And as always, this is our weekly conversation about the political happenings in New Mexico. Thanks for joining me today, Andy.
Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
So to start off our conversation today, you've recently reported that the New Mexico Senate leadership has cleared Senator Jacob Candelaria, who represents the 26th District of the New Mexico Senate, of an ethics violation allegation. Firstly, can you give us the history of what happened here for context?
So a real kind of brief, just bullet point history of this is that Jacob Candelaria is an attorney. I think it's important to remember for context that our legislature is what we call a citizen legislature, meaning that the pay that they get is a per diem. Mileage, food, a place to stay, that kind of stuff. They don't get an actual paycheck or salary, so to speak. So many of them, if not most of them, have another job besides this. And Jacob Candelaria's other job is a lawyer. And recently, in the past couple of years, he started to take on folks from the cannabis industry, sometimes patients, but mostly Ultra Health, which is a very prominent cannabis producer in New Mexico. Run by Duke Rodriguez, who's sort of a infamous character in the world of cannabis or medical cannabis here. And so what that started with was that Jacob Candelaria voted and actually debated on a bill that DOH, the Secretary of Department of Health, Tracy Collins, said sort of violated his role as a state senator because he voted on something that she said would have benefited his client. She sent it to the state ethics board, which kicked it back and said, it's out of our purview, needs to go to the legislative ethics body. And so, yeah, just the most recent update was Senator Mimi Stewart said, I should say Senate Pro Tem Mimi Stewart, as long with minority and majority floor leaders, they decided that this was not a thing that the ethics committee needed to look into. So for all intents and purposes, he's cleared of this, although he has said he's going to follow through with sort of answer in a lawsuit saying that they retaliated against him unfairly.
And the senator is a pretty outspoken guy, right? Doesn't he have a history of recusing himself from votes, among other things?
Yeah, he's definitely outspoken. And in the last two sessions, the regular session and the special session, he was very outspoken and sort of took a few opportunities to speak up and say, I do represent this client as well as other clients. And he's taken the stance that, you know, he can still vote on some of those things that doesn't have an inherent conflict of interest, that his client could possibly benefit from legislation. But I think the question comes into play, how does he benefit from that? I think it all depends on how he gets paid from his client, right? I mean, there's contingency cases where the lawyer doesn't get paid unless they win. Sometimes the lawyer gets paid no matter what. But that's sort of the big question there. And it always comes back to the citizen legislature issue, that many people cannot afford to be in Santa Fe for 2 to 3 months at a time. That doesn't count interim committee meetings. And so almost everybody has a second job if they're not retired or somehow independently wealthy.
And it seems like the news of cannabis is the gift that keeps on giving, especially when it comes to business opportunities. Can you briefly touch on some reporting you've done in regards to citizen lawmakers trying to cash in on the cannabis industry?
Yeah. So at the time, like I mentioned, Jacob Candelaria voted on this thing that DOH said would benefit his client. And there was a whole lot of debate over whether any lawmakers were going to make money off of this industry. But I think at the time specifically, they were saying if they were going to go get a license to sell cannabis. So what we've learned in the past few weeks is that Senator Katie Duhigg, who was a co-sponsor of the bill that became the Cannabis Regulation Act, is now opening a law firm of her own that specializes in cannabis law. So I think she's billing it as a one-stop shop. So I assume that means that it's a lot of sort of getting people set up ready to apply for a license. Of course, that raises questions on what sort of influence that she will have for her clients. And then on top of that, we've got Albuquerque City Councilor Pat Davis, who also is involved in a similar type business. He's doing consulting work for folks who want to get into the business. So there's, I think, a lot of questions raised. I should specify the city council is different than the legislature, but I think the pay for city councilors in Albuquerque is like $30,000 or roughly around there. So the argument there is that there's no way that anybody could make a living off just being a city councilor. And that's sort of the question. Do we want people to be able to spend all of their time in Albuquerque as a city councilor or statewide as a legislator, a senator, or representative? So, I mean, I think this has been going on for years where people are debating on whether we want to pay them or not. I think this is just another sort of more ammunition for the folks who say we need to pay our legislators.
I can't help but to think, are lawmakers thinking about putting up a firewall between their cannabis businesses and themselves? There's this perception of a conflict of interest, you've said. Do you think this might be an issue in the future?
Yeah, I think anybody that you talk to ethics about this stuff, it's almost likely to come up that somebody's going to talk about the perceived conflict of interest. So, and I think for a lot of people, that's all that really matters. Is there a perception that there's a conflict of interest? So in other words, you know, they can put up as many firewalls as they want, but then there's the sort of implied things, right? You know, if you're applying for something and the state sees that you're agent is a lawmaker or somebody of influence, does that change things? And what are those firewalls? I mean, they vary, right? Councillor Davis said that anything that has to do with the city issue, he'll just refer them to somebody else and say, we can't help you. I don't know, again, exactly what Senator Duhigg's business is going to be doing, but I assume it'll be sort of guiding folks in how to apply for these things, how to make sure they're in compliance. But the other thing too is that it kind of highlights that there is a whole nother industry out there for people trying to, or an industry to try to help explain to people that don't know how this all goes, right? How do you find a business that's compatible? Or I'm sorry, how do you find a building for your business that's compatible? Where in town do you look? Do you buy? Do you rent? Where do you grow? Are you near a school? All those things that most people may not understand. And so there is sort of this opportunity for folks to get into that business. It's just a matter of, are the people that wrote the law the right people to do that?
Andy Lyman is a reporter with New Mexico Political Report and the co-host of the Growing Forward podcast, a podcast about the cannabis industry in New Mexico. Thanks for talking with me.
Thank you, Bryce.